The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am the one,' and 'The time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not follow immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and country against country. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before rulers and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and family, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O, abide with me. When I was in grade school, I remember asking my now passed away grandfather, who fought in three wars, if and when he became most afraid. He told me the story of when he was a chaplain in Vietnam. His platoon set up a camp, and my grandfather decided to take a nap in a nearby foxhole. And while he was asleep, there came a call that the Viet Cong were advancing rapidly, and his platoon chaotically and silently had to retreat. So this all happened while my grandfather was asleep and no one woke him. So after sleeping, he described him popping his head out of the foxhole and saw no one. Just equipment that had been left and a couple of fires burning, things that the commander didn't want to get into enemy hands. He talked about how that was one of the most scary times of my whole life. I remember him saying, you know, looking over nothing and seeing chaos, I was feeling that right to my core. And that question of, wow, now what am I going to do? Well, I feel, in a little bit of a different way, a little bit like my grandfather right now, looking over chaos and the scene and trying to comprehend what is going on. Whatever your political convictions are in this congregation, and I know that there are many, one thing I believe we can all agree on is that no candidate for the United States presidency has ever used this level of hatred and labeling to win. And it is inexplicable to me how this has affected our own community. And so I am asking myself, what am I going to do now? Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Two thoughts. The first thought is of bearing witness. We as a church community need to understand that there are individuals, communities, and entities that are already in greater danger because of the rise of hate and anger. Yes, even in Missoula, I talked with a teacher a couple of days ago at the gym who said that all of the Missoula schools, most notably the middle schools, have had a rise in swastika painting and graffiti. There have been multiple incidences already this week where women wearing hijabs have been threatened. And just yesterday, my colleague and friend Lori Franklin, the rabbinic leader of the Jewish Har Shalom Center, asked for more police protection because of drops of flyers that have been dropped around our city in multiple locations with a headline that says, quote, "The Jews' purpose is to destroy us and our families from the inside out, slowly and gradually perverting us with our own special kind of poison." It's happening here, folks. Refugees, families, LGBTQ individuals, immigrants, women, especially minorities, people with disabilities, and our climate are seriously threatened. This is a fact. You know, our confirmation class a couple Sundays ago was just talking about what the Ten Commandments are, and with them, I discovered that the word commandment never appears in the Bible. That is, in the Hebrew. What does appear is actually the Hebrew word way. So the lawyer in Matthew 22, when he asked Jesus, "Lord, what is the most important way?" Jesus answers, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest way. And the second is like it. Love the Lord, love your neighbor as yourself." And then Jesus concludes, "All the law and the prophets hang on these two ways." This is, for me, what I have to hold on to. In wrestling with what am I going to do next, I feel I must act first and foremost to love and to protect my neighbors. And I believe our church needs to as well. Not just following in some generalist peace and justice for all mentality, but specifically say that swastikas have no place in our community. Flyers and hate mail have no place in our community. Harassment of women have no place in our community. And I believe it takes us as a church denouncing this hatred directly that is required. even possibly standing up to the presidents of the United States if necessary. And in the name of Jesus Christ, proclaim that there is no room, no room for persecution and targeted hate in this world. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran pastor, and one who was executed by the Nazis because of his plot, his enrollment in a plot against Hitler, said, quote, "It is the Christian call to not simply bandage the wounds of victims beneath the wheels of injustice, but to drive a spoke into the wheel itself. Justice, I feel, now more than ever, needs to be at the center of the gospel that we preach." My second thought: building bridges. You know, the context of the Gospel of Luke that we read today was a context fraught with persecution, betrayal, and fear. And actually, this story, this apocalyptic type language, which many of us find frightening today, was seen as a sign of hope, to give these people hope, because Luke's community was living in the first century, most likely in Rome, and were systematically persecuted by the Roman Empire. And we have Roman records from a similar time period to the Gospel of Luke, which deemed Christians as cannibals. In fact, many early Christians were executed on this charge of being a cannibal. And it makes sense in some ways, doesn't it? Because if you know nothing about Christianity and heard or read the words of Jesus saying, "Take and eat and drink of my body and blood," that's pretty horrifying. But of course, this is not at all what Jesus is talking about. So one of the things that is happening to me personally, I'm not sure if this is happening to some of you, is that in the election, you know, I find myself going around and labeling people in my head. Labeling people, oh gosh, that person must have voted in a certain way. And I find sometimes anger building in myself, which I haven't quite gotten over yet, but that's okay. It's okay to have anger and to be angry, but not at the expense of others. I feel shocked myself still and need to be in that place right now, but I know I have an obligation eventually to move beyond this anger, and eventually, because my anger could destroy the community if I'm not careful. If not checked, I could become like that Roman, accusing Christians of cannibalism simply because I don't fully understand. One of the many conversations Abby and I have had with friends, one of our close friends spoke of a theory that she had. And she said, you know, everyone in this country, I believe, no matter who you voted for, wants two things: safety and connection. I think that this is really, really true. So it really comes down to empathy. How do we empathize with one another, realizing that we both want the same things? How do we feel another's pain in their safety and connection, being threatened? This, I believe, is the only way forward. As we seek to love God with all of our heart and mind and our neighbor as ourself. I'm not there yet, I'll be honest with you. But I know that this is the direction that I need to go. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power. Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, O, abide with me. So what did my grandfather do after thinking to himself, now what am I going to do? Well, he started to walk down the road. He didn't know where he was going. Maybe it was a road to be captured and killed by the Viet Cong. Maybe it was a road to get lost on and starve. Maybe it was a road that led in the opposite direction of where his platoon went. He didn't really know. So he started to walk. Turns out that the commander forgot some important documents. And he drove frantically back down that road in his Jeep to go collect those documents, finding my grandfather walking. This is what we as a church and as a country, I believe, have to do. We have to give ourselves, yes, some time to say, now what? Many of us are in that right now. But then we have to start walking down the road. A road that is uncertain together. You may feel triumphant after this election. And I say to you, come walk with me. You may feel scared out of your mind. And I say to you, come walk with me. Because in our walk down this road, we must remember this. For I am with you always, even until the end of the age. That's our faith. That's what it's all about, right? That's why we do this, what we do every week. Because we are never alone in acting out our Christian convictions, of speaking out for our neighbor, nor emphasizing with others whom we agree with. And it will take walking together, stepping down this road together. And I, for one, need to be reminded of that constantly. And so I ask, as we walk down this road together, if you, no matter what your political standing is, turn to page number 629 in the ELW hymnal. And I ask you to walk with me in singing verse 4 together.
Where is death's sting? Where?